Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex. B-Tech Smith and Steve Mex, you are now entering the Megacast. The Megacast.
Is the Megacast.
We are back, Steve.
I cannot believe it, man.
I'm coming in hot.
You are.
I wasn't as excited in the pre-show check.
Right. Mic check. Hey, everybody.
It's the Megacast.
Yep. It's good to see you again, Ted. I feel like I haven't seen you in a month.
It's been 2 weeks, Steve.
Yeah.
That's a long time for us.
2 weeks in the desert.
Yeah, man.
That just confirms my wife's suspicion of us being in a weird relationship. It's been 2 weeks. That's a long time for us.
Yeah. And I would be lying if I didn't say in the desert at Burning Man multiple times, me and Cobb would be sitting there and it'd be like, man, Steve would really like this.
Yeah, dude, I cannot wait. Why don't we just get right into the push-ups?
Let's get things going.
Because I want to get right into this mega cast. I have so many questions. I just want to sit here and soak in the stories. I've met a few people in my life that have done Burning Man, but nobody as close in my life as you are.
Nice.
So I'm excited to hear what exactly happened. So I figure let's get 10, our usual thing. I almost forgot. I think maybe we haven't done push-ups in a while, but it's to get our blood pumping, our heart racing, and our brain
functioning.
Ted is on it.
Yeah, man. What kind of music we got, Steve?
Dude, Ted, in honor of you, today's push-ups is a band by the name of Third Eye Blind. Off of their first record, the song is called Burning Man. How about that?
Yeah, Third Eye Blind. I didn't even know they had been.
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know if they have or maybe had some other thing, but let's get 10.
All right.
Here we go. Yeah.
I think sometimes I miss some of the figurative stuff that happened at Burning Man.
Maybe they inspired Burning Man. What if
Third Eye Blind? Come on, Steve. Third Eye Blind did not inspire this crazy amount of artists and stuff going on in the desert. There is no way Third Eye Blind is like the brainchild behind Burning Man.
What if they're like, yeah, what's happened to Third Eye Blind? Are they broke? Did they waste all their money? No, they became multi-millionaires by developing this little endeavor called Burning Man in the desert. Wouldn't that be hilarious? I mean, it's not true.
It would be. I think that would shock a lot of people. Right. But I mean, hell, Katy Perry was there.
Was she?
Yeah.
I saw that, what's his face? One of the dudes from Entourage, E. He was there, I think.
Really? I didn't see he was there.
Did you? So you saw Katy Perry?
I didn't see her in person.
Are
we doing a TED Talk?
Yes.
All right.
TED Talks.
Oh, yeah, I want to get in.
Starring B-Tech Smith.
Well, this one will be pure and simple for me this week. I want you to go out and personally test your limits. Okay. And I'm not saying go out and rip down 20 shots of Fireball and be like, I'm testing my limits. What I'm saying is I want you to put yourself in some different situations, maybe some situations you think you wouldn't thrive in,
mm-hmm.
say like trying to live in a desert and build shelter for 5 hours in the goddamn heat. The thing is...
Who did that? Third Eye Blind?
Right? But just go out there, test your limits on everything. You know, maybe it's even just an extra quarter mile on your run. Maybe it's that extra flight of stairs. You know, just push it and test your limits a little bit. Get out of your comfort zone.
I think it's always good because rarely do I hear somebody say, I went out of my comfort zone and it was awful. I can't think of a time where someone said they went out of their comfort zone and they were not happy with the results.
Yeah. And if you do and you don't like it, it's okay. Your comfort zone's still there.
Yeah, that's
a
good point.
You go visit people, but at the end of the day, you can still go home.
Right. It's like dealing with family sometimes. It's like, I got to go hang out with them. But then you realize, oh, but I get to go home.
Yeah.
Or children sometimes.
I was just about to say, for people like us that don't have kids, that's one of the great things. It's like, man, these kids are fun to play with and stuff for a couple hours. But and then not, I get to go home.
Yeah, you're not there at 4 a.m. when they're crying and their diaper's full.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. I would be worthless at that point.
All right, man, let's get into this. I want to talk about it.
All right, so
let's talk first Katy Perry.
All right, so one big thing I didn't know about Burning Man is a huge part of it is people messing with you, right? So, like, by the middle...
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, creating fake stuff and, like, oh, this person's here, or...
Just little things like that, or, like, So, all right, so they have these massive art cars, right? And when I say art cars, they're, like, They're like RVs that are like sawed in half, and then they build stuff on top. For instance, across the street from me was the Dragon's Lair, where there was a fire-breathing dragon that drove around. One night I was sitting out on like my quote-unquote front deck or my front porch, and I watched the Golden Gate Bridge drive by. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, two spans of the Golden Gate.
Yeah,
there's a giant yacht out there called the Christina. I mean, anything you can think of. And they make them into these cars. And when they drive by, I mean, sound systems for days.
Really?
Right.
So, because some people get like straight up beyond architectural with their.
I'm telling you, like the art cars themselves have more sound system than any club you've ever been to in your life.
Really?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. One at the end of our block was called Robot Heart. So they had a giant, I'd say, 40-foot robot that they carried around on not just a regular forklift that lifts pallets. You know, like that industrial forklift you see at like major. Construction sites. So at nighttime, around 3, they would turn on the robot, and then there was a heart. The heart would go out into the playa, and then the robot would chase them. And then wherever they stop in between, it's just this crazy dance party.
What?
Yeah, every morning at sunrise. One night, I saw Skrillex and Diplo and didn't even know it.
Wait, they performed at Burning Man?
Yeah, Skrillex played like 5 sets.
No.
Yeah, because he played the White Party at the Opulent Temple, which the Opulent Temple is the coolest nightclub you've ever seen.
Is it just because everyone's wearing white? Is that why it's the White Party?
Well, yeah, real players wear white on Wednesday at Burning Man. Because it's stupid. Because there's windstorms and dust. Whatever white you have on will only stay white for a matter of minutes. So it's like this ridiculous, like, are you going to the White Party? I'm going to the White Party.
What was that moment when you first got there? Like, what was that feeling? You know, like
it's. I will say this: Burning Man exceeds all your expectations. Oh, wait a minute! All right, so the art cars, people messing with you.
Yeah.
So you hear about these art cars, and there's got to be hundreds of them. I mean, unicorns with fire shooting out of their tusk or whatever. There's 3 rhinos. You got to be careful which rhino you're talking about.
Are these all made out of wood?
No. They build like cages and like lights and stuff, like disco fish.
Wow.
Disco fish. I mean, there's like 3 chassis on these things, man. Disco fish was dope. Anyhow.
What is disco fish?
It's this giant, like, fish-like thing that drives around the desert blaring EDM music. And there's people riding and partying on top. So the first day we got there, one of our worries is, like, if we're on the art car and it just drops us off somewhere in the playa, like, how do we know where it's going to pick us up and whatnot? So we see a bus stop, and we're like, dude, it makes perfect sense. Art car bus stops, right?
You gotta be kidding me.
So like,
I didn't realize it was this intricate. Like, there's so many like actual buses and bus stops. And
right. So on day 3,
disco fishes.
Somebody finally hips us to the fact, like, hey, man, those bus stops aren't real. We were like, what? And they're like, yeah, there's a good chance you might just be sitting there at that bus stop for 2 hours. Like, there's no mass transit in Black Rock City. It's like, of course there's not. So at this point, a day later, somebody goes, yeah, man, Katy Perry's driving around on like a scorpion breathing fire. And I literally was like, F you, Cobb. I am not buying any more of this newbie crap. You're not getting me on this one. Yeah. Katy Perry's not here partying in the desert. I got home. Everything's like, watch Katy Perry fall off Segway.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Dude,
how crazy would that have been if you ran into Katy Perry at Burning Man?
It would have been awesome. Our one buddy literally said he, on his bicycle, he almost got run over by Skrillex. Skrillex is just the easiest one to recognize because you've seen him.
Yeah.
And not many people have that haircut. And then the naked women. There is hot naked women everywhere during the day.
Like just no clothes at all?
Nothing. Or like a lot of them just wear pasties. I mean,
at that point, why even wear the pasties?
I don't know, but it's just tough. Like one day I just left the porta potty and I'm getting like the hand sanitizer. There's like a little stand.
Uh-huh.
So I have like my head down. So I'm hungover and I'm like, And so I'm talking to this girl. You guys can't see this, but I have my head down, like kind of like Steve, the same distance, maybe a little closer you are, Steve.
Okay, like about 5 feet.
Yeah, so I'm washing my hand. She's talking. We're laughing. And I look up, and it's just this beautiful naked woman. And it's just like, oh, concentrate, keep it together, play right? it cool.
Were you wearing your dress?
No, I never wore a dress.
Okay, I was going to say, because that might be very showing if a naked woman's just talking to you.
I think... Yeah, I had, like, at nighttime, I had a really cool light-up jacket. You'll see that thing in action. You'll like it.
Okay.
And then, I don't know, like, during the day, one day, somebody gave me a woman's, like, Santa jacket. So I just wore that, no shirt, an American flag, bathing suit, and a cowboy hat. Just cruising around. All right. So
I don't even know where to, like, I have so many thoughts. I'm like, what is the scene like? How's everybody dressed? Like, what's that? Like, how hard is it to make friends? I mean, you know, there's so much stuff because it was just the two of you. I mean, you didn't really, you knew maybe there were other people there. Did you run into anybody else that you actually knew before Burning Man?
Steve Rock.
Steve Rock was there.
Yeah. Stoke Steve.
You saw him there.
Yeah, man.
Former KSW Weekender.
Yeah. And host of Metal Shop.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw Steve Rock.
He said he didn't know if he was going.
Oh, he went. He's at Yay Flags.
What is that?
That's the name of their camp. Yeah. Yay Flags.
And so just a bunch of flags or?
Yeah. And they have like a structure set up. So here's the deal. During the day, right? There's all these theme camps. So like one's called the Little Crack Whore. Mm-hmm. And then when you go by the Little Crack Whore, the names are awesome too. Mm-hmm. Opulent Temple, Little Crack Whore, Slut Garden.
Slut Garden. I want to hang on to Slut Garden.
Slut Garden was dope, dude. And they played like nine. It was like, it was the right, like me and you, like our age. That was Slut Garden's like home run. Like a lot of Biggie, that kind of stuff. And like Tiesto, like kind of like.
Were there actual like hot girls in Slut Garden or?
You know what they had, man? Up behind the stage, they had four of those red like sheets.
Mm-hmm.
And then girls would go up there and dance behind them.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Right, so I mean, women were dying to get up there.
I mean,
night.
Yeah, if you're gonna name your little area Slut Garden, you have to lock in enough girls to make it worth being called Slut Garden. I think.
Oh no! This is the all right. So here's the thing at Burning Man: anybody can go in the Slut Garden and go dance up there. You just have to be a chick. So like when you go to the Opulent Temple, right? Again, the craziest nightclub I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. But you just get there, you hop off your bike, and you just walk in. You can walk right up to the stage. There's no VIP stuff. There's like an area in the back that we thought were VIP, and they're like, oh, come on in. It's Burning Man. Like, that's what I'm saying. You don't pay.
How do I get into the VIP?
You don't pay for anything. And then during the day, right? So Little Crack Whore, all these like little duck pond. They have like bars and stuff.
So like the Opulent Temple, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Okay. Is there like a bar?
I don't know if they had a bar at that one. They just kind of put on shows.
Own.
Yeah. There's other camps that have bars running at night. I like the Queen's Dick. Which is a bunch of Brits running a bar. But wait, I got to say this. So during the day, you just ride around on your bikes, right?
Uh-huh.
And there's like people out front, like catcalling you, like, get in here, get some drinks. And they want you to come in. Like they've put all this stuff together.
They want it to be huge.
Yes.
That is amazing.
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with money at that point. It has nothing to
do
with...
No, you don't exchange money. You like people gift you little trinkets and stuff.
What were you gifted?
I got a pretty cool necklace. I meant to bring that in, like medallion thing.
Uh-huh.
Some other unscrupulous things that I'll bring up.
Maybe that have already been used. Any attractive ladies gifting you?
No. My only two real close, and neither of us got laid. You're close to laid.
I can't even imagine how that would be possible with all the sand. And
oh, and dude, I didn't shower for a week. So after day three, it was like,
I mean,
gross.
I would imagine, after the first day, you're like, this is not why we're here. There's not. Maybe somebody gets action there, I would imagine.
No, there's a lot of people that do, and there's a way to go about it. But even in Black Rock City, you still got to put in some work. And our first year, we were just like ADD little monsters. Like, oh, look at that shiny thing.
Right, yeah. I want to bounce around. I don't want to be, tied down by any girls in Slut Garden.
Right. I mean, and that's the thing, dude. Like, you're going in all these clubs, all these bars and stuff, and the place is huge. So during the day, you ride around. You meet and make tons of friends. Great hugs. You would love it, man.
I'm a hugger.
Oh, yeah.
I love the hug.
Yeah, I was in this one British pub, and I hugged this guy, and he's like, oh, mate, you got to get over here. This guy's giving out world-class hugs.
World-class hug. You were giving out the world-class hugs?
Oh, yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, you know me. I put feeling into those hugs.
I know you do. You hold on.
So then, at night, you just bounce around, and then you can walk out into the deep playa, right?
It's unbelievable, man.
So, like, one night, we're walking. It's probably it was 2 miles away, and it looks like there's a blue, like, pool or pond out in the deep playa. We're like, what is that? We walk all the way out there, and it's a group in a giant circle of these like circular discs that are probably, 3 feet around,
mm-hmm.
and they're all blue. And then when you jump on them, they change colors.
Who brought that?
I don't know.
That's insane. That is amazing.
Yeah.
It's such a, like, listening to these stories, like, all I'm thinking is it's opposite. It's a contrast to what we are used to. And I think that's probably why you guys are so blown away by, hey, is that VIP? I probably can't, like, you just assume. That's right. The world we live in is that if something seems really, really cool, you need to know somebody to get into that, or you need to buy into that. It's got to be that. Now I'm starting to understand in a very limited way, obviously. I'm not like, now I get Burning Man. But like, I'm starting to understand that the appeal and why people love going to it and why they keep wanting to go back is like, you're stripping all these societal norms and rules that we just anticipate and assume, and walking into a world where it's like, no, we want you to enjoy our party. We want you to make this huge.
That is like the main thing that, like, and people tell it to you when you first get there. It takes a couple days to sink in, but it's like, see this structure? Like, they built this, and it'll have signs that say, climb on me. Jump right. on it. So, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, they build it for you, for your enjoyment.
Well, you think about,
I mean, I climbed up on a cargo net on top of a bouncy house to watch the sunrise one day.
So awesome.
Yeah, dude, you should have seen your boy. I was like a monkey. I climbed more stuff and danced more than I ever have in my life.
Well, it's so cool because I think about all the times when we go, like, to the Classic, or when we, like, plan our little weekend gatherings, or when we know we're going to be together in a safe environment. We're like, how can we make it more awesome for everybody that's with us?
Yeah.
And that's what this sounds like, except it's people you don't know who are trying to make it more awesome for other people that they don't know. And that way it's like, oh, I want to one up you in awesomeness in a fun way.
Yeah. And I mean, wow. You hear all these rumors about people being there and stuff, but like, we found a bar that had a tap system working with, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 beers on tap. Which, by the way, finding a cold beer, like an IPA, was like an oasis.
I was going to say that had to be the most amazing tasting. Because I know, like, after I play hockey, having a Coors Light is, it's like a taste of heaven. I couldn't even imagine in the desert having something cold.
I should have brought more beer. We ran out of beer kind of pretty quickly.
How quickly?
A couple days. Wow. Dude, Cobb was drinking beers quicker than I was. It was like, what is real in the desert? But that bar I found with all the beer I found.
Like me drinking more beer than you somewhere.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, like, me and you have gone out, like, you can stay pretty close, but, like, Cobb is not drinking beer like we
are. But I can stay close for the first couple hours, and then, so, Ted is the marathoner. I might be, I'm, like, more of, like, a mid-level sprint. I'm more of, like, a relay race. I need to hand it off to somebody, because I'm done.
You're a 12K-er. It's all right,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, you're a marathon. I'm a 12K-er. I like that.
Yeah.
I got the sticker on my car.
Oh, there was a group of people that ran an ultra marathon, by the way, at Burning Man.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
But that beer place... Two German dudes flew over 2 Oktoberfest kegs that they had kept the year before from Munich.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I mean, stuff like that.
I get it, dude.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
This is so crazy. Like, again, different world, but when we do the Classic, I have stuff saved. Like, oh, I'm getting that. And in 8 months, when we go, this is going to be awesome to unveil to everybody.
It's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Man, you're killing me. You're killing me. Let's take a quick break.
All right. I will say this, though, just fair warning. It is an S-ton of work, and there are some very low points in that dust.
Let's get into that next. Let's go into the dark side.
All right.
And then we'll get back into the fun stuff as well. All right. The MegaCast will be back. More stuff, more stories from the Ted Smith when it comes to all the craziness that happened over at Burning Man. Plus, we are going to have the return of our friend, the cranky old...
Walt.
Walt nice. Talks is back, and this time he has... giving me his blessing because he actually knew I was recording him this time.
All right.
So we have another moment, words of wisdom.
Are you like a secret Fed agent? Do people have to pat you down for wires now?
Yes. They know what's up. So when we get back, more stuff from D. Ted Smith's adventure over at Burning Man.
What do you mean that the MegaCast will be back, bitch? That means that Ted and Steve need to take a break. Chill out.
What do you mean? But you wanna say no, what do you mean? Hey, yeah. When you don't want me to move, but you tell me to go, what do you mean? I've been watching for. Oh, what do you mean? Since you're running out of time, what do you mean? Oh, what do you mean? Better make up your mind, what do you mean?
This year at Burning Man, they're introducing a new concept to the outdoor festival in the desert. It's called soap.
What?
Soap. something most participants have not yet experienced.
I'm a unicorn!
Also coming to the week-long event, shampoo.
What?
You use it to wash your hair.
Whoa!
So dance, spin, express yourself. Become one with existence and the planet.
Woo!
And maybe shower. Burning Man. Not recommended for people sensitive to smell.
Ted and Steve are done with their smoke break. The mega cast is back.
Said I don't drink. Sometimes I
smoke break. I do it on the mega cast. Quick side note, are you available to do a mega cast on a Wednesday night next week?
Yeah.
All right, let's do a dinner. Well, I got a meeting I got to go into at 11. I don't know when it's going to end.
All right.
All right, cool. All right, we're back.
It'll be a boring-ass dinner, though.
Why is that? Are you back on the cleanse?
I have a retreat the following weekend. So I got to be on my strict little no red meat, no pork, no salt kind of
yumbo.
Actually, yumbo will work.
All right, good, good.
Hold that yum sauce.
It's funny we hear that fake... little commercial there about Burning Man. You know, a couple of late night talk show hosts were talking about Burning Man while you were gone. I figured you'd want to hear these. I saved them.
That commercial, by the way, is spot on.
Is it?
Me and Cobb kept saying, my kingdom for a shower. We found group showers the last day. If I had found them early in the week, I would have taken one.
Is that like just like a big misting tent kind of a group shower?
No, you know Dr. Bronner's, the soap?
Yeah.
All right, so you know like when you see a train go by or whatever, those cargo giant containers.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a clear one at Dr. Bronner's camp, and they pack people in there like shoulder to shoulder, all naked. And then there's catwalks, and there's four people up top, and they get everybody chanting, foam, foam,
no.
Foam. And when it gets to a fever pitch, boom, they blast them with foam. And then like 30 seconds later, they blast them with water. And then when you get out of there, you're still naked and you go into the white bar, which is like their bar, and everybody just hangs out naked and you have a cocktail.
Did you do that?
No, because I found it too late.
Oh,
trust me, I'm not.
It's like a human car wash.
Yeah, and I'm not Mr. I want to run around naked. I'm not the most impressive man, not excited.
But does it matter?
No, it's what I'm saying. Next year, I will. Like, if I had known that shower existed, I would have been there earlier in the week.
Wow, so that was there all week.
Yeah.
So wait, Burning Man, the village.
The city
is so big that you don't even know if you've seen everything while there.
Oh, dude. It's really? Like Disney World. There's no chance you're going to see everything.
In a week.
No, no chance. Steve, you're riding miles every day on your bicycle, going from place to place.
Where'd you get the bicycle?
Walmart in Yakima. You got to, dude, if you don't have a bicycle, you ain't seeing S.
Really? So everybody's
just
getting by? Anyone else have like a Segway or?
Yeah, there's a ton. You see a ton of Segways. One of our neighbors had this really cool like electric bike.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like a regular bicycle, but the more you pedal, the more it powers. And then you can just go electric mode for a while.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. I won't lie. By Friday, dude, I was like, look, I'm going to walk out to the Deep Playa tonight. Like, I'm not riding that stupid damn bike anymore. My hamstrings are killing me.
That is awesome, dude.
Yeah. All right, so the low points.
Yes.
Friday, we go, or a couple days, right? The wind's there. Took us 5 hours to build our structure. We didn't bring a socket wrench. So just imagine me shirtless in a cowboy hat, the blazing desert sun with a wrench, just, you know, like one turn at a time.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, so 5 hours to set it up.
All right, but mental note, socket wrench for next year.
Shit. RV.
RV for next year.
Yeah. So that was kind of taxing. Definitely, there's like the windstorms with the dust. I mean, your visibility goes from like 200 yards to about 10 feet.
How often were there windstorms?
Most days. And then Wednesday and Friday. Friday, there was sustained windstorms for like 5 or 6 hours. And when we got home, Steve, it looked like a dust bomb had gone off. Like, you ever seen those videos of, like, the third world country where it's been bombed and people are going through the, like, shaking dust? That's what our place looked like.
Everything on the inside.
Everything. I slept in dust the last two nights. Like, I would just smack my pillow to get some of the dust out and then screw it. I'm going to sleep.
Yeah, I was
going to
say, at that point, it's just, who cares?
Yeah, and it's in everything. You're just wiping down with baby wipes.
When you got home, have you gotten all the dust out of everything?
I still have a couple jackets that need to go to the dry cleaners.
Wow.
But I took all my clothes and washed them right away. We threw out our carport.
So what kind of living situations did you see other than yours then? Like, I mean, you said RV, I would imagine.
A lot of RVs, which is nice.
Yeah.
Tents and stuff. Like our one buddy's camp.
Tents?
Yeah.
Well, that sounds crazy.
Our one buddy's tent or place, Do More Now, is like a big camp. And they have like a giant shade structure and then have like a tent city underneath that.
Oh.
So that's the whole thing. If you have shade during the day, that's pretty huge. I mean, I took a nap with 30 people in a shade structure.
Are you sleeping on them?
No, I think at nighttime it's a cuddle puddle, but during the day it's just a nap room. Yeah.
What's the male to female ratio in this cuddle puddle?
In the nap room, it wasn't, I don't know. All I know is there's a dude next to me, and then I was like, I'm sleeping next to the wall. And keep in mind, dude, there's shade, but it was still very hot. I'm just laying on these pillows, sweating.
Oh, man, dude. Hey, well, real quick, let's just check out Jimmy Fallon. He's talking about the pros and cons of going to Burning Man.
All right, let's take a look at the pros and cons of going to Burning Man. Pro, nearly 70,000 people attended last year's festival. Con, nearly 200 of them remember it. That's pretty good.
Good odds.
Pro, seeing someone walking around with pink hair, a bunch of piercings, and a plastic bag for an outfit. Con, or as Miley Cyrus calls that, business casual. Oh, that's wow.
Is Miley Cyrus there?
Seems like she should be.
Right? Yeah. That would be the place where she would thrive.
Yeah, I could see her at District during the day, dancing her ass off.
District.
District. Ultimate day party place, man.
So, how soon did the party start?
They never
end.
No, there's bars going, or some of the clubs. That's what I'm saying. Robot Heart would play a set every morning at sunrise till like 7.
And how much sleep did you get per day?
I think I averaged like 4 hours, 5 hours.
That's not that bad.
Dude, it was like, a lot of people were like, you guys are sleeping a lot.
All right, let's check out some more of this.
Pro, you can sleep in an RV, a tent, or outside on the ground. Con, that's what your wife said after she found out you were on Ashley Madison. They said, get out of here. Get lost. Pro, visiting the room of infinite mirrors, where you can see millions of images of yourself.
Wait, was that there?
I didn't see it.
That sounds amazing.
I'm sure it was. It was the Carnival of Mirrors.
Con, or as Donald Trump calls it, the happiest place on earth.
Beautiful mirrors. Classy mirrors.
Pro, driving cross-country to attend Burning Man. Con, getting lost in Pennsylvania Amish country and ending up at Churning Man.
So good. The butter is so
Amish
so
have
fresh.
Good food.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Was there Amish markets where you grew up in New York?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They were big in, like, the D.C. area.
Good butter.
Good butter. Great breads.
Amazing bread.
Birch beers.
You're right.
Yeah.
Butter is so good.
So good.
Pro, seeing thousands of pot-smoking hippies getting together for one cause. Con, or as the Sanders campaign calls that, Burning Man. There he goes.
And finally, by the way, that is false. Weed is the hardest drug to find.
Really?
Oh, yeah, because it's the stinkiest. It's the, like, it's the easiest to detect. There's not, like, I was shocked.
Wait, so easiest to detect meaning that if someone smells it, everybody's going to want it?
No, like, there's still actually cops there.
What?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they just like, hey, we're roping off this city. And don't come out.
No, some, like,
that's
like,
when I was in college, we had the Clifford Ball, which was a big festival for fish. And the cops, it was an old Air Force base that they turned into a concert venue. And the cops basically just surrounded the, they had security, obviously, but the cops surrounded the outside and said, whatever you guys are doing in there, do not bring out.
Yeah. This is like, if you went to like the Opulent Temple at night or sometimes a district during the day, you'd see cops. And basically, like, I know, I'd like,
wow.
Yeah. I pulled out like a thing of tobacco and a cop, like, flashlighted me. I was like, no, just tobacco.
And he was like, okay, cool.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, weed is really like, and a lot of the Europeans, like, you can't fly with weed. So, like, having weed on the fly, I was like, ooh. That's wow. Why I was like, I thought there'd be people just roasting bowls. But that everybody's like, dude, don't, like, if you smoke in your tent. Like, don't smoke out in the open.
Yeah, well, too bad you don't have, like, the vape pens or something like that.
Yeah, Steve, that's a great idea. Where were you, like, 3 weeks ago?
I did not realize that you couldn't have all this stuff. I didn't think that cops were going to be watching you guys.
Well, it's still Nevada.
Yeah. Can I have hookers?
Sure. Just no weed.
Dennis Hoff, was he there?
You know, I heard they were supposed to be there, but I never saw him.
That would have been awesome.
Dude, I'm telling you, the city is so massive.
I honestly, I don't know what I pictured because I've never been there. And maybe, you know what? I'm curious to see what did you think you were going to walk into before you walked into it? And how much different was it from what you actually witnessed? Like, what did you expect when you were going? I mean, I'm picturing like almost like just a small village that's like a giant circle, and everybody's like, you know, almost like an old village, like a Western thing, but just with crazy techno music playing.
Yeah. When you get there, I think, first of all, it all exceeds your expectations. Mm-hmm. And then number two is you'll be shocked. Like, people talk about the city and or the Playa or the Deep Playa. When you get there, you realize, like, Black Rock City is a thriving, huge city. And, like, there's all these giant structures and stuff. So I think that was probably the part that I wasn't expecting the most is, like, how big it is and, like, I don't, man, just how nice and welcoming. I mean, I had a few strange interactions.
Okay. Can you tell us?
Just people kind of messing with me one day because I was by myself and I might not have been in the clearest state of mind.
So what were they doing?
Just kind of raunchy kind of British pub humor about, you know, moms and stuff.
Yeah. Brits, man.
Yeah, and I literally, well, that's what happened. The girl goes, you can have a beer, but they're warm. And I went, prop a pint. And they're like, where are you from? And I was like, Seattle. And then they were like, what's with the proper pint talk? I was like, don't you guys drink them warm? And then they just started kind of giving me the business, like messing with me. And then one guy was talking like, I don't know, he was talking about the other guy's mom. It was one of those moments. You know how it is. Sometimes you just get a weird vibe.
Yeah. Like when you're messed up and you're like, I don't know. Like, are they effing with me? Are they having fun with me? Because you don't know their world.
I have no idea. So right. Like that was the
Should
only.
Should I get mad at them?
Yeah. I just chugged my beer and left.
Which is probably the best bet. Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, that's most people, I would say 95% of the people you meet are welcome in. They're like, yeah, get in here. Have
fun. Who was your favorite person that you met at Burning Man?
You know, it might have been the Kiwis, man. I went to a bar one day by myself in a dust storm that I
found. Where's Cobb, man? He's letting you down?
No. Just, dude, by the middle of the week, you're just kind of like, all right, you go do your thing. I'm going to go do my thing.
We'll meet up. Was there a way to communicate? Like,
we had walkie-talkies, but then mine died. I kind of gave up. Well, here's the thing. Even in the desert, right, it's going to accentuate everything you are.
Yeah.
But for me, like, I'm still kind of a homebody sometimes. Mm-hmm. So, like, he would like to go on the crazy adventures. He likes skating at the roller disco. I wasn't messing with the roller disco.
Were there roller skates that you can, like, rent?
Yeah, there's a girl there.
I mean, not rent, but borrow.
Yeah, exactly.
How
roller
many
blades?
What?
Dude, it's a full roller disco. There's a girl working the counter. I'm saying, Steve, like, that's why, like, by the middle of the week, you're like, what is real? What is not real?
I wish I was there for that. I would have been so pumped to get on some roller skates.
Can you roller skate? I mean, that's right. You ice skate.
I played roller hockey.
Oh, you would have loved it then.
Yeah. I probably would have hurt myself because, I mean, I can't imagine that I would be in a good state of mind to stay balanced. But
well, roller disco, it's right on the Esplanade. It's famous. But that one is very decisive. People either love it or they're people like me, like I ain't breaking an ankle to burn it for no good reason.
Yeah, that's the last thing you need is a broken ankle while you're at Burning Man.
Yeah.
Is there a medics? I would imagine.
Oh, yeah. Lots they're set up all over. Porta potties. But, I mean, even the porta potties from where we were, every time you got to pee, you can't pee on the Playa. That's a no-no. You
don't supply ya.
The
ground.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you got to ride your bike like 4 blocks to go to a porta potty and pee.
That's cool though. I mean, that's cool that there people are being respectful of the property.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Nothing comes easy there. Nothing's convenient.
So, is there toilet paper in the porta potties?
There is, but it's highly recommended you bring your own as well because it runs out quick.
I was gonna say, yeah. I mean, how much upkeep is there, or is it they just set them up?
I mean, they upkeep them every day, but
yeah,
and. It was good all week. It was only like the last day I was there, I had that horrible bathroom experience where it's just...
I just farted.
I was like, you know what? Like, you just keep wiping and it just like won't stop.
Yes, I hate those.
Oh, Jesus. And I'm dripping sweat. I was like, why? Why on the last day?
Those are the ones that always happen when you need to be somewhere. And you're like, oh, let me just take care of this real quick.
Yeah.
And then it's not quick.
No. And you could feel the line building up outside. I got to get out of here.
Oh, that's right. And then you got to walk out and make eye contact with whoever's going in there next.
Yeah. And more than likely, it's going to be some hot naked chick.
Now, did you have a lot of time to talk to hot naked chicks? Like, I mean,
yeah.
Are the girls, did you meet any girls that were standoffish?
Not so much.
I would imagine not, because I don't think you were going there. I mean, I don't know if there's anyone that's going to Burning Man with the intention of, I'm going to holler at some chicks and try and...
Oh, there's a ton of people. There's an orgy dome.
All right, I don't know which is more awesome, the roller rink or the orgy dome.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is, too, is like, there's a certain sect that are just there. Like,
that's not my culture, actually. I would not be hanging out in the orgy dome. I might want to pop in just to see what's going on.
You can't. You got to bring your girl. You got to go in as a couple or get invited in by a couple. Yeah. But I was going to say, like, with...
What's up with these rules, man? I thought it was Burning Man.
Right? What's up with the rules, bro? Well, it would just be a bunch of bros in there, like, looking at one hot chick.
Just be like, bro, let me go. Come on. Right? Come on. You've been going long enough. Are you that guy that took up all that time in the porta potty? Now you're taking up too much time here.
As I say, there's a certain sect that are there just to eat a bunch of Molly and just go to the EDM shows as opposed to psychedelics or...
Right.
So, like, those people don't party as late and stuff. So, like, you see those people, like... They're not standoffish. Like, there's just some people you just see like, all right, that's just not my crowd.
Right. I don't feel welcome. And yeah. They're not being rude. I just don't. No. You know. I mean, it's like that in life. Yeah. I get that.
Yeah. They're just different vibes. Different vibes, man.
Let's check out. We got Jimmy Kimmel also talking about Burning Man. I'm just curious to see what you think about. It's fun to have these being played because, you know, I'm an outsider. So I'm just these are what I think are stereotypical jokes. It's fun to talk to somebody who's been there and can confirm or deny these things.
Do you know what Burning Man is? It's a, if you don't know, out in the middle of the Nevada desert, thousands of people, last year they had 70,000 people get together to form what they call a temporary metropolis dedicated to community, art, self-expression, and self-reliance. And it's also a great place to do peyote with a guy dressed like a reindeer. I know people who have children that go to this every year, and they all say there's no better place for white guys with dreadlocks to dubstep and spin fire yo-yos.
Fire yo-yos, is that
Poi?
True?
Spin it. Well, I don't know about fire yo-yo. Oh, dude, there's a place called the Charcade where you play skee ball, and when it hits a certain number, flames shoot out. It's flaming skee ball. There's flamethrowers you can shoot yourself. You like the game at the fair with the water and you try to fill up the balloon? Yeah, imagine that with a flamethrower, bro. The Charcade. That exists, Steve. That's real. Thunderdome is real. The Duck Pond is real. One people set up a whole little fake cul-de-sac, and it was like suburbia camp. And they had,
like people in their 30s and 40s.
Yeah, and
please.
They had fake grass, and they would just sit out. Yeah, they set up little lawns and yards.
People must spend all year planning out
year.
Right. Like, do you feel like, you know what, let's take a break. I want to come back.
We got to talk about something else. I feel like we're just talking Burning Man.
This is fascinating to me. And I hope it's fascinating to people that are listening. I think it's very entertaining. We'll also do wall talks.
Wall talks. So you got to talk about your big time night last night,
We got time. I'll talk about the rock star life that I'm living these days when we get back.
Plain Jane. That's not me. I'm Robot Grace. Actually, I'm Mother Badass. Robot Grace. The mega cast will be back.
Plain Jane. But there was something about Plain Jane. Yes, there was something about her. She couldn't find her purpose. So she couldn't see her work. Plain Jane. Plain Jane, Plain Jane, Plain Jane. Yes, there was something about her.
It's time for the debate. It's a debate about a debate. Featuring all your favorite news networks. Who won foreign policy?
Senator Marco Rubio.
Jeb Bush.
Who won this?
Rubio.
Donald Trump.
Who won that?
Dr. Ben Carson.
And if you like the debate, check out the pre-debate debate. There's nothing more exciting than talking heads debating over the GOB team. And don't forget, next week, set your DVRs for the debate, as we debate over the debate about the debate.
One of the guys liked to cruise downtown on his scooter, and I'd like to ride him. Oops. I mean ride with him. The Megacast is back.
Ready? Downtown. Cruising through the alley. Tiptoeing in the street like ballet. Pulled up. Moped to the ballet. White walls on the wheels like mayonnaise.
Downtown is what you get.
Dude, and that line is correct. Like, one of the funnest things on the scooter is cutting through alleys.
Oh, I bet.
You know, like, you know where the gum wall is in the market?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Post alley.
Yeah. Like, I've driven my scooter up that road and then into the market. And you feel like you're in a very slow, not as fast, but like a European, like, gangster film.
I was going to say, like, an urban safari.
Yeah, dude. It's awesome. People are like, is that legal? I'm like, I'm sure it's not, but it's a scooter.
So what were we talking about right before we took the break? You were, I had a question for you, and now I forget what the question was. Son of a bitch. We've only been on a break for about, we didn't pause tape or anything and go off and go smoke or anything like that.
Oh, boy. light up fire stuff? Were we talking about that?
We're talking about the light up fire stuff, and then what happened after that? Son of a bitch.
Does exist? I don't know. Damn it. Man, we're not good at this podcasting.
No. I mean, I did not think I would forget, honestly, in 2 minutes.
Well, the problem is we just kept another conversation going as soon as we shut off the mic.
I'm like, hey, did this happen? Did that happen? Did this happen? I'm like so fascinated by this. Like, it's like something that I don't know if I'll ever be able to pull off. I don't think my wife would be okay with me just going away and being off the grid. Oh, that's the question. Now, I would imagine you're going to hope to do it next year.
Yes.
Have you... And I don't know if Cobb is as well, but here are you two guys. You've experienced it. You've got to see what people bring to the party.
Yeah.
Have you already started strategizing and thinking about what you guys want to bring to Burning Man next year?
Oh, 100%.
What are you thinking?
So that was the big joke. Sunday, Cobb kept telling people all week, Sunday's like Ted's like once-in-a-lifetime trip, you know, like let's do this, yeah. Knock it off the list. By Tuesday, I was planning a theme camp that's a Best Western. And then when you pull up your bike, because I had this giant, I wore a cowboy hat that I bought in the High Sierras in Nevada or California. And then I had one of those giant fake foam cowboy hats.
Oh, those
hats.
Are the best.
Oh, the Euros loved it, dude. They were like, did you build that hat? I was like, no, I didn't make it.
Styrofoam, right?
Yeah. I found some other people that were wearing them and they were Euros. Like, these hats are great. And I was like, they are great. So it kind of became a joke that I was Big Texas Ted. When people were like, are you from Texas? No, I've never been to Texas. So I want to build a Best Western, like with a sign and stuff.
Yeah.
And then one of the jokes is there'll be a valet. So when you pull up your bicycle, the valet will come up and grab it. Now here's the joke, and this is where you mess with people.
If I got to be there, I'd be the valet.
All right, but when you leave, the valet is just going to give you a random bike, not your bike. And then people be like, dude, where's like my nice bike or whatever? And I'll be like, sir, you were promised a bike. You have received a bike. Good day, sir.
Anybody set up a casino there?
I didn't see one, but I'm willing to bet there's a casino and we just didn't see it. That would be fun, just shooting dice for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Play cards. You know, just naked girls are your dealers.
Yeah.
That would be cool.
Well, that's the sad thing.
I want to build a Vegas metropolis, but like fun. So it would be casinos, and then I'm acting like as if I'm going next year. I wish I could. Maybe. Who knows? Maybe. And I want to learn magic in the next year. And there'll be a magic act.
And if you put a stripper pole up, they'll dance on it.
Dude. We create Vegas? Somebody's doing that.
Yeah. Vegas. That's what I was going to say, too.
I want to do a magic show, though.
You go by some camps, dude, and you feel bad because they've put all this stuff into it, and there's just not people there.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah, there's just a DJ playing. Like, you know the beach, like Baywatch, those stands they have on the beaches?
Yeah.
Like, one camp was just that. Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. If I plan my magic show, I don't know many people are going to be like, hey... I know Diplo and Skrillex are over there performing, but I hear this guy Steve and Texas Ted are doing a magic show.
Yeah. Dude, they totally gave me a different bike. Well, the other joke, too, is that Cobb...
Don't go to their party. They give you the wrong bike.
Cobb's going to be the concierge, and whenever people come in, it's always like, hang on, I got to take care of this. What do you need tickets to?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all right, so more of people messing with you. Like, there's porta-potties that move around. Everybody told us that there was Wi-Fi. I went to one of the Wi-Fi stands. It's just two guys messing around. Like, no, there's no real Wi-Fi here, man. What, are you crazy?
Oh, you know, Q-Ray from our hockey team, he's trying to make it happen next year.
Q-Ray?
Yeah.
Oh, dude, I got to get him in my camp.
You should, dude.
I'm setting up a big camp.
Dude. He's an engineer.
Oh, he could build some stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a guy to have. We could get. Imagine we got all the donkeys and our camp has a hockey rink. That could be fun.
All right, there was a human foosball.
What?
Yeah. Not only there was a human.
Did you take pictures while there? Or
no.
No, I mean, you know what? Honestly, I think it's best that you didn't. I think it's good to just have those memories. Sometimes I think we get too. I would feel like that's a place where you should just put your cell phone away and not get consumed by. Oh, I got to take a picture of this and take a picture of that. It's like, just enjoy the moment.
Yeah, the human foosball was pretty cool. Somebody set up a tennis court with lights out in the desert in the deep playa so you could play tennis at night with like a light up ball.
Oh, you could have like a baseball field and have like a wiffle ball game.
Yeah.
That'd actually be funny. Have like a wiffle ball tournament.
Yeah. I mean, it's
make jerseys for everybody.
What other kind of music, whatever kind of band you're looking for, like, it's there on the playa. Some camp is doing it, and you
ball
can go
hockey
find them.
Would actually be fun. Build a rink
and just have ball hockey,
and just have that way you don't have to be on skates. And
that's a good call.
Bring
man.
Enough gear, like sticks. Bring two sets of like limited goalie gear, because when you play ball hockey, it doesn't hurt that bad. You just make sure you don't bring one of those heavy balls. That way, no one gets really hurt. Like something, you know, like almost like a bouncy ball.
Yeah.
And bring enough of them, because I would imagine if you were going to go flying somewhere, and two sets of jerseys, and just okay, you create a team, you create a team. Let's go.
Yeah, you just bring
no
pennies.
Checking. You can hug somebody to stop them from going down the rink.
I like that. You can hug them.
Yeah.
Well, that's the other thing, too. Nobody's going to be too intense playing these games.
Have a DJ whenever it scores. Everything stops, and it's just like for a full song, you just rave it out.
Yeah, see? I mean, come on, man. We got to get you down there. But again,
I'll do it if we have a hockey ring.
It's a ton of work. There is some miserable moments. There's some days. I told this, too. People are like, oh, what are you just doing, like drugs and all this all week? I go, no. There's definitely days where you're just hurting.
Yeah.
You just kind of have some beers, make it through the day, and go to sleep.
This is unbelievable, man. I'm like, Burning Man needs to just have this podcast played for anyone who's on the fence, and not that they need to get more people to go. I mean, they'd sell it out every year.
Yeah.
Now that you've gone, I mean, you want to go next year, but how do you guarantee that you're going to get to go?
So you don't. With the ticket lottery, that's what kind of sucks. I guess because they can tell when you're a first-time burner, so mine was a little easier to get.
But oh, that's
cool. If you start a theme camp or you join a theme camp and you help build stuff and work, then you can get early entry tickets.
Ah. Because I have a buddy who's a firefighter who has been offered to go because he's a firefighter.
Oh, nice.
Which would be kind of, you know, Nick, yeah.
Oh, dude. And they burn so much stuff. All the giant art pieces, by the end of the week, they just burn them.
Yeah, did you see the actual, is there one specific Burning Man?
Oh, yeah. Burn Night Man. Burn night is Saturday.
And everything ends on Sunday, or?
Everything ends, well, Sunday night, they burn the temple.
Uh-huh.
Not the opulent temple, multiple temples.
Okay.
The temple is much more spiritual. Like, I walked through there one day, stone sober, and almost cried. I mean, powerful, because people write notes, and they leave little trinkets of things they're trying to let go of and then release. So, they burn that Sunday night. But Saturday night, when they burn the man, 70,000 people encircle the man. And then outside of that is all the art cars just banging music with all the crazy lights and fire. And then inside the inner circle, fire dancers come out and spin fire for like 15 minutes. Then there's like a 15-minute firework display, and then the man starts to burn. Excuse me. And then while the man's burning, fireworks are still going off. And then I don't know what they put inside of the man, but I mean, the largest explosion I've ever seen with my own eyes, like mushroom cloud.
Wow.
And he burns for like an hour, and then he finally goes down, and then people are dancing around the fire. The other problem is they steal all the street signs, so Saturday night is chaotic. There's no more street signs. You don't know where you're going.
Wow, so everyone's just walking into each other. I don't know where my campsite is.
Yeah, like Friday night, man, I was trying to walk home, and I shined my flashlight on one of the street signs, and where it should have been, it said, "You wish it was here."
You're serious?
Yes.
Man, I enjoy the trolling aspect of this, because it's really funny.
Dude, people do it, and they're so good at it, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's wild, man.
Pros and cons. If you could think of one pro of going to Burning Man and one con, since, you know, Jimmy did that whole bit. It doesn't have to be a funny con, like an actual...
Well, pros, it's the most amazing place. It'll exceed all your expectations.
Mm-hmm.
Con, you're going to be depressed when you get home.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Like, how bad?
I mean, I have dreams of the art cars every night. You know what I mean? Or just like riding my bicycle or just...
Well, people always say it changes their life. Do you feel like people being a little too spiritually, you know, out there or...
No, but I think I already do some things that are much more in that realm.
True,
so
true.
For me, it wasn't like a life-changing thing.
Probably just an extension of the things you've been doing.
Yeah, and it kind of just confirmed some things I already kind of knew.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like, look, I'm not going to run around naked, guy. Even if it's Burning Man.
I would do it.
Like, that's just not me.
Especially after hockey.
Well, you know, I do it in the group shower.
Even if we don't have a shower, we'd have to have a locker room with a fake shower so that everyone can, you know, shower up before they get their clothes back on.
That's awesome.
That could be the funniest thing. I wonder if that would go over well.
The fake shower?
The fake hockey thing. The fake hockey experience.
I'm sure people would like it.
You play the hockey, you get the gear off so that the next group of people can wear the gear. Then you go take a fake shower, and then you go on and do whatever you got to do.
Dude, Cobb found one place that was like a barbecue temple. I don't know how they did it, but they were smoking brisket out there. And then they had like a whole ceremony, and it ends with you like on your knees on an altar, and like a priest puts a piece of brisket in your mouth.
Man, people got all year to come up with these crazy ideas.
Yeah, one bar I went to, I got a whiskey smack, which is the bartender, she poured me a shot of whiskey, I drank it, she smacked me, and then we hugged. One bar.
Is she hot?
Yeah, she's pretty good looking.
Is she naked?
Nah, close to.
Yeah.
One bar I went to, I spun a wheel and got spanked by a giant, giant black dildo.
What?
Yeah.
How is that not your con?
Because it seems so normal at that point.
What? Seems so normal to get my own black dildo.
Yeah. They're just people just having fun, man.
Nah, was it like a flaccid one? Like, was it rubbery? Did it hurt?
The problem is, see your grip right there?
Yeah.
It was more like this.
Oh, my goodness. Like a paddle.
Yeah.
Like a wiffle ball bat.
Yeah, dude. Like the big red ones that little kids use. They can't hit with the skinny yellow ones.
We could use that as a hockey stick.
Probably. Dude, dildo hockey.
That's a funny. Different color sticks, quote unquote, are the team that you're on.
A white team and a black team.
White team, black team, a pink team.
Ooh, yeah. A fleshy team.
That's skins. What are they hitting then? Like a clamshell?
Yeah, or maybe a cookie.
A cookie. Tacos.
Dude, trust me. Like, that, it would totally fly down there, and people wouldn't even bat an eye.
Yeah. They're like, let me in. Put me on the waiting list.
Yeah, and I mean, just simple things like that, too. Like, it's 3 a.m. What are you doing? No, I'm jumping on trampolines.
We need to have a Zamboni.
Oh, yeah.
Someone could be dressed up like we build like a human Zamboni and they just kind of walk around the rink.
Dude, and you could have like three like little stands or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm saying. We'll have the bar set up. That's the only weird thing. The cops do send like underage kids in there. So you do have to have your ID.
A lot of
places will ask you for ID.
I'm surprised that Burning Man is not 21 and up.
Yeah.
Were there kids there?
You see some kids.
Like how young?
I saw babies up to like, I don't know, 12-year-olds.
Huh.
Skate park, you see a lot of like 10-year-old kids kind of skating.
That's a weird world for a... I mean, maybe not because that's just
it's
the world.
It's a weird world for adults.
Right, that's what I'm thinking. Like as a kid, like that's your perspective now.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
The other cool thing is most of the people there are ballers. Like I thought, like some of our neighbors, you don't know. You can't tell what anybody does in regular life.
Right.
By the end of the week, you start asking people like, oh, what do you do? And it's just like, holy cow. Like
I'm the president of the Mariners.
Well, I expected to meet a lot of like just kind of like that fringe of society, people that just live in their vans or this or that, and they just scrape enough to go. I was dead wrong. Like they are the minority. Most of the people there are all like I met college professors, brokers from London and this and that.
I remember last year that was like a big story about everything that there was a lot of like the Silicon Valley took over Burning Man.
Yeah, they call them plug and play camps. It's like people don't set up their own stuff. They have food. It's not going to ruin your Burning Man experience. I feel sometimes those people, I don't think, have the same experience because they're so coddled. Like, part of it is just, like, being in the struggle. Like, this windstorm sucks, you know what I mean? Like, you just find random... Like I'm saying, those New Zealand people, the Kiwis, like, the windstorm was going crazy. So I just sat in there and broed down with them and had drinks.
Instead of an RV, why don't we get... I'm volunteering him, but get Levi in the big party bus.
That would be unbelievable.
Right? If that's like our place where we stay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you go on the roof to like nap.
Yeah.
I mean.
So imagine that party bus turned into a giant fish. That's what Disco Fish was like. Yeah. With like the scales and everything.
It's hilarious, man.
Dude, it's unbelievable. I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like you could go out every night, find all the crazy adventures you want. Or some nights I would just sit there in front of our camping space and would just drink beers. And watch stuff go by. I mean, it's unbelievable. Oh, we hippie fished.
What the hell is a hippie fish?
My buddy Michael next door, he brought a fishing rod, and we put a little blinky light on the end of it, so we would just throw it in the road, and we would fish. And it's always chicks. You always catch a chick, and they'd be like, oh, you caught me.
So she'd follow the blinky thing.
Yeah.
Would you give her like a hug for coming over?
Oh, 100%.
Nice.
Sometimes we'd give them a...
Ted.
Yeah. Like one night, I think we built a little group of like five or six of us. Cause like one girl came over and said, what are you guys like? Are you guys really just fishing for people? Like, yeah, you want a beer? Like, yeah. And before you knew it, we had like five extra people fishing.
Dude, that's awesome.
Yeah. It's, I can't say it enough. Like the word unbelievable, yeah. I'm going to stop using in regular life. Cause that place is unbelievable.
Wow.
Yeah.
Dude, I loved hearing the stories, and I'm sure I look forward to hearing more stories that cannot make it onto this podcast.
Yeah, 100%.
But before we get out of here, we kept teasing it. The return of Walt with Walt Talks. If you don't remember Walt, I think it was episode one.
Was that episode one?
I think it was episode, well, maybe not episode one because I was like Sully, but the first episode with our new version of the MegaCast. If you don't remember, this was the episode when we had Walt on. This is the
Walt
other one.
Talks. Inspirational thoughts from a salty old man.
I got half smashed and I walked up to the bus stop and I passed out. My bus went by me. Last bus of the night.
You were passed out at the bus station?
Yeah. So okay. I walked back to that motel. Used to be all hookers in there, you know. I went there, got a room, and I sat down on the bed, took my shoes off, laid down on the bed, fell asleep. I woke up. There's four hookers in bed with me. I'm no shit. And they're all snoring.
What?
I go, what the f***? They didn't walk in, lay down in my room.
They had a key to your room.
No, I don't know.
Did you bang them?
I guess I did. Hell no!
Why not?
I didn't have a rubber that thick.
So that was our first and only message from Walt.
All right, I'm interested to see what Walt's got this time.
Walt works at the hockey rink in Tacoma. He is an old, cranky, awesome man.
Salty.
Salt of the earth. All right, this is a new one. This one he decided to tell me a joke.
All right.
So here's this brand new edition of Walt Talks.
Walt Talks. Inspirational thoughts from a salty old man.
One kid, ever since David was born, he was a big-headed guy, big-headed baby. And his father said, well, look at that big-headed son of a bitch. And as a kid growing up, every goddamn thing he did wrong, he'd go, oh, you big-headed mother. And when he had to go back, get him a doggone Cub Scout suit. And he come in there, Daddy, I can't get that shirt on. He goes, well, you big-headed son of a bitch, you got to pull it on tighter. And he says, Daddy, my hat won't stay on. He said, well, you big-headed mother. Goddamn, the guy come over and said, man, what are you talking to your kid like that for? He says, oh, ever since he was born, I called him a big-headed bastard. He said, before he was born, his mother had the tightest in town, and now that big-headed son of a bitch ruined everything.
So, somebody has to impersonate Walt at Camp Hockey.
Yes! With a fake eye that they can pop out.
Oh, that guy is unreal.
We have to create the Puget Sound Hockey Center.
The Puget Sound Hockey Center.
The Puget Sound Hockey Center at Burning Man.
Oh, man. People would love it.
It would be fun.
And that's one of those things that would seem like a myth. Like, dude, I heard over at like 3 o'clock in E, there's a hockey rink.
Yeah, and there's games going on.
Yeah.
I heard Team Black Dildo's taking on Team Pink Dildo tonight.
Dude, you know what we should do? We should try to build a giant version of bubble hockey, USA versus Soviet Union.
Yes!
Right?
With a giant button that someone can hit at any given moment that creates, when someone hits it, everybody who's watching has to start booing or cheering.
Yeah.
You have the boo button and the cheer button.
Because, right, and then people could have, we could attach with like a harness, like the plastic pole, so you could only run so far.
Right.
Because that's what the foosball was, the human foosball. People had to hold on to a thing and could only move left or right on their row.
Well, in the hockey, we could even just create a surface and make the slot that the player, like, you know, when you...
Face off?
There's like a slot that...
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's like the only groove that player can walk on. So you had to stay on that. If you go off of your slot, you get kicked out.
Dude, right. We'll just raise it off the ground.
That's a penalty.
We'll raise it off the ground a couple feet, and then you can only run up and down your slot.
Oh, and we create a pole that comes out from underneath, and you have to like harness it in.
Yeah.
Oh, this is good.
Yeah.
A giant.
We gotta talk to Q Ray about making the bubble.
Yeah. What do we make the bubble out of?
I don't know.
Huh. Well, we got a year to figure this out.
Yeah, man, we're on it. But that's a damn good idea. We should use.
Brilliant idea. And I've got I've got a year to figure out how to convince my wife to let me go to Burning Man. All right, we got to get out of here, Ted. I love hearing the stories, man. Thanks for sharing them.
Good, man. Yes.
Like, this is awesome.
That's a commercial break. Like, sorry, man. I don't want to be dominating the cast. But,
No. I could do another podcast listening to these stories. This is awesome.
I feel like this is completely different than our last serious podcast.
Yeah. Right? Having some fun. That's what the Megacast does.
Yeah, man. We're back.
It's good to be back. All right.
It is.
Well, then this song is even more appropriate now. Let's get 10. Mega family. Thank you for listening. Here we go.
The little town we were in California in the High Sierras. I mean, not even a stoplight. We did 10 in the middle of the road.
Did anyone join in?
I think a couple of the Euros joined in with us a few nights.
We schedule a time every day for a push-up party.
Nice. Oh, push-up party.
A push-up party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'd be awesome.
Follow us on Twitter @TheMegacast.
Just say at the push-up party. Stop broken.